KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
To Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right, we are here, and we've got a wonderful show for you tonight. Tonight, we are going to talk about 10 things we are super excited for this year.
Well, 30, oh, yes. Technically. But.
30, yeah.
Altogether.
Altogether, but, you know, if you want to get specific, if you want to count down how many... But there'll be 10 each from us, and maybe some honorable mentions depending on time and this and that. And again, what I love about doing this kind of thing is, to me, the age of the internet has been the age of cynicism. And it's nice to
somewhat,
do...
Somewhat, yeah.
I would say more than somewhat. but that's just me personally. But what I love about, especially with this show, is highlighting the positive. And that's what we love to do with this kind of thing. And it just... I like to talk about things that make us excited, and so hopefully they make you excited. And, of course, we'd love to hear some things that you're excited about this year. And, Caleb, what can they do to do that?
If you would like to interact with us right now, live on the show, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, leave a comment, like our page, all that good stuff happens right there. Or, if you prefer the Twitters, you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. That is where you can get links to the stories posted both to Facebook and to Twitter. And also you can leave comments, notes, suggestions, cool stuff like that.
Yes. And something else that's cool that we like to do at the start of the show generally is new releases.
Woohoo!
So I'm going to start us off with some movies coming out in the theater. We've got Timbuktu. Not far from Timbuktu, now ruled by the religious fundamentalists. Kidane lives peacefully in the dunes with his wife, Sitmia, his daughter, Toya, and Izan, their 12-year-old shepherd. In town, the people suffer, powerless from the regime of terror imposed by the jihadists determined to control their faith. Music, laughter, cigarettes, even soccer have been banned. The women have become shadows, but resist with dignity. Every day, the new... improvised courts issue tragic and absurd sentences. Kidane and his family are being spared the chaos. Stop doing things in simple note. Being spared the chaos that prevails in Timbuktu, but their destiny changes when Kidane accidentally kills Amadou, the fisherman. Stop moving. Who slaughtered his beloved cow. He now has to face the new laws of the foreign occupants. If that doesn't interest you, maybe Black or White will. When a grandfather, played by Kevin Costner, is suddenly left to care for his beloved granddaughter, her parental grandmother, played by Octavia Spencer, seeks custody with the help of her brother, played by Anthony Mackie. With the best intentions at heart, both families fight for what they feel is right and are soon forced to confront their true feelings about race, forgiveness, and understanding. Then we have Project Almanac. A brilliant high school student and his friends uncover blueprints for a mysterious device with limitless potential, inadvertently putting lives in danger. And finally, we have The Loft. Five married friends conspire to secretly share a penthouse loft in the city, a place where they can carry out hidden affairs and indulge in their deepest fantasies. But the fantasy becomes a nightmare when they discover the dead body of an unknown woman in the loft, and they realize one of the group must be involved.
Dun, dun, dun. So perhaps you prefer...
Blu-rays and DVDs!
Yes, which...
Uh-oh, no.
...have vanished.
Simple Note strikes again.
Okay, meanwhile, in video games, apparently we've been waiting a long time for this, and I didn't even know it. Raven's Cry finally came out, or is coming out on the 28th to Xbox 360 PC and PS3 and PS4. It's an adventure game set in three pirate cities in the 17th century, and the goal is to make a realistic portrayal of pirates and the story of man out for vengeance. Another game, Life is Strange, coming out on the 30th for Xbox 360, PS3, PS4, Xbox One, PC. I need to figure out a way to like sing that or something. Just make it roll off the tongue a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. Two friends try to unravel a mystery behind the disappearance of a girl in their small hometown. It's episodic, story-driven, interactive indie film from Square Enix and Don't Nod, all one word. Kind of a cool company name, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, they did.
Don't Nod. Don't Don.
I won't. They did remember me.
Oh, okay.
We're playing with time again.
Whoa.
Meanwhile, without time travel or time play, since I never played it, and I know I should be ashamed for that. Grim Fandango, remastered edition, coming out on the 27th. Coming for PS4, Linux, Mac. They were doing you a solid for the Mac thing right there. Woo! It's the only one I've seen in like months. That was, we got to represent the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, mm-hmm. Also for the PC and Vita, it's the classic Tim Schafer game, rebuilt using the new tech from the newish game that Tim Schafer created by means of Kickstarter named Broken Age. Last up, we have Dying Light, for basically all of the new generation ecosystem consoles. Coming out on the 27th. Free-running action survival horror lovingly rendered in first person, featuring realistic zombie damage and a day-night cycle that will make you desperate for dawn.
Whoa.
And that's it.
Alrighty, so back in Blu-rays and DVDs, it's The Judge on Blu-ray and DVD. A big city lawyer returns to his humble hometown where his father is suspected of murder. The search for truth reunites these two estranged men.
Why are they so strange?
Because they are estranged.
Oh, okay.
And they're strange when you're a stranger. Anyways, the...
thank you. That's what I was angling for.
I thought so. Then there is The Color of Time. Let's see. C.K. Williams is a... award-winning poet, but the lives and the relationships that made him who he is today are a difficult road to walk, so to speak. And this film examines sort of the life and times of this poet and how he came to be who he is, the relationships of his past. On a slightly lighter note, The Book of Life. Guillermo del Toro produced film effectively it's about the Dia de la Muerta, and it's told through a story of love and I should say romance and expectation of family and stuff like that. It's actually really fun. It's rather silly, but it has a good heart. And
it's interesting
lots
it
of
came
style.
Out at the same time as Grim Fandango remastered too.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't end up seeing it?
I did end up seeing it in theaters. I liked it quite a bit. Yes, not the deepest story ever made, but it's a lot of fun. It's a celebration of the La Muerta and some of the culture around
it. It looks pretty.
It.
I want to see it just for the pretty.
It has style in spades. I'm going to round out with Justice League, Throne of Atlantis. Animated feature where... Aquaman is put into the awkward position of having to pick sides between his kingdom of Atlantis and this and the Justice League of the surface world.
No,
as a tide of war brings the two into conflict. So there you go.
Nice.
Conflictify. Okay, breathe with me. 2015 Clear the Air Film Fest. Breathe California is announcing its call for the entries for the 2015 Clear the Air Film Fest. Make a short 5-minute film on health or the environment for your chance to win $1,000. Entries are due by February 14th, and the films will be screened at the New People Cinema on Thursday, March 5th. Learn more at cleartheairfilmfest.org.
And over in, so from film fests to comic fests, it's time for comic books. And over at DC, it's The Flash. Let's see, which one was it again?
Wow.
Number 38. Barry Allen is trapped in the Flash Force, or the Speed Force, and someone is in Central City using his good name with murderous intent.
That's no good.
That's no good at all.
Wait, his berries or his the Flashes?
Yes.
What does it say?
It doesn't say specifically, but so I think it's implying both.
You have to go check it out to find out.
Yep. Across town at the Marvel Studios, it's Thor, number 4. It's a Thor throwdown! When Odin's son returns, and he doesn't like when other people touch his hammer. So
nobody does. I don't like it when people touch my hammer.
Then there's, from Image Comics, it's The Dying and the Dead, number 1. It's a story involving lots of time travel, it sounds like. Or messing with time, so to speak. It's ocean. In this case, time's more of an ocean than a river. And a 50-year-old secret comes to light. A man is given a chance to save his wife. And a lost tribe shows up seemingly out of nowhere. And a group from the Greatest Generation, which is World War II veterans, for those who don't know, has come together for one last go-round. Then let's see, over at Dark Horse, it's Tomb Raider number 12. It's the conclusion of a storyline, but the Tomb Raider series has been pretty solid, with Gail Simone as one of the lead writers. So
cool.
Pretty cool. And our good friends at Wow Cool have some recommendations for you as well. The alt comics, listing for spring 2015 is coming out. Now we'll have a link to what the whole list is. Then there's new issue of Mind Management out from Image this week, and also Vertigo Quarterly Black. Let's see. Over if you prefer graphic novels as opposed to the thin issues,
I know I do.
You might try Dan Clowes' Ghost World and Jim Rugg's Street Angel. And one last recommendation comes Noah Van Shaver's Saint Cole, published by Fantagraphics.
Cool.
Nice. All right, let me pull up the music. We can get out of new releases. All right, we've got a new EP from Mogwai called Music Industry 3. Fitness Industry 1.
Ooh. Okay.
The 6-track EP from the Scottish post-rock band includes 3 songs from Rave Tapes remixed by Blank Mass, Nils Frum, and Pie Corner, as well as 3 new songs. There's a new album from Pond, Man, It Feels Like Space Again. The 6 full-length release for the Australian psychedelic rock band was actually written before 2013's Hobo Rocket.
Oh.
if
but it's
like,
not related to Amy Pond, I take it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
if you like your death napalmy, Napalm Death has a new album, Apex Predator Easy Meat. It's the 15th studio release for the British grindcore band, was produced by Russ Russell. Bear with me on this one. I probably will butch it, but Zunzun Nigui has a new album, Shackle's Gift. The 2nd full-length release for the Bristol-based rock band was produced by Andrew Hung of A Naughty Word Buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the
is there a letter
on
the
radio.
Beginning that we could say?
Well, we're just going to move on to the Pink Shiny Ultra Blast album, Everything Else Matters. The debut full-length release for the Russian shoegaze quintet was recorded in 2013. So there you have it, a handful of some new releases. Hopefully something out there entertained you. If not, we're going to bring the entertainment tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Or whenever you're actually listening to this later on in the future.
Yes, because we also put it up on our website, robotsattack.me.
Nice.
We're bringing the entertainment to you.
To you, period. Right at this moment, no matter what time of day it is.
No matter where you are.
Exactly. We will be there in your ears.
Woo.
Coming out of speakers and whatnot. All right, mm-hmm. We're going to take a music break, and then we're going to come back with the news. And of course, we like to tease the folks the news so they stick around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about skydiving beavers?
Whoa. I like it.
Yeah.
Top that.
Doctor Who is going to be a villain in Marvel.
Huh?
Maybe not outright, but kind of.
The show is going to be a villain?
Or is it Inspector Time Space?
No, Inspector Time Space has nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just say that for the one fan out there that's like, that's not his name!
I don't have his name right now, so, and I was trying to build like drama, but hey, let's not
do
that.
Get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is his name?
No, yeah. That's not. Never mind. I've dragged it on too long. That's just for the one person out there that's like, that's not his name. Anyway, we're gonna get to some music, and then we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are in the news. Gentlemen, let's give them some news.
All righty. So, relatively recently, relatively recently is a bit of a stretch, but
in
not
cosmic
so,
terms or
not quite cosmic terms, but in like, you know, it wasn't yesterday, but it wasn't that long ago kind of
within
thing.
Within a month ago.
Give or take. The Idaho government, a while back, specifically 1948, they decided that they wanted to, the best way to keep beavers away from growing urban areas was to strap them to World War II parachutes and then jump them out of an airplane.
Wow.
The funny thing is, it worked. That's like
I don't see how it could go wrong.
Well, but one of the difficulties with, you know, like they didn't want anything to get hurt, but like they actually like wanted to keep them from moving back into populated areas where the population was growing.
Okay. And so I was thinking you meant like they were concerned they were going to sabotage the planes, but thankfully the beavers weren't smart enough to do that.
No, it was more to do with the fact that they didn't want they knew they were impacting their habitat. But they wanted, and also they knew that their habitats weren't impacting the, you know, growth of the of human. But they had a place, they had plenty of space left in Idaho to like, put beavers where they would be safe, and humans wouldn't be like tromping all over them directly. So they had dropped them out of an airplane into very safe country, and they have been happily living there for quite some time. And just sort of amusing.
So does that mean there's somewhere an old, like, gray-haired beaver that's still got its jump strap on? Or
likely not. The resettlement effort was recently kind of like revisited by some historians and
just for fun or because they're planning on doing it again.
Because like looking back through history, like every so often you come across things like, wait, we actually did that? And this is one of those.
I think they could have saved some money and just done a beaver cannon. I mean, I'd still give them parachutes.
The landing is still
not
going to
be mean.
But anyway, I thought that was an interesting way to kick off, an amusing story to kick off the news section with.
And they still do it to this day.
I don't think they still do it. The population was moved, and it is now safe and growing, and they've been able to check on it and make sure that it's safe. You know, been safe.
But just in case it does come back, they'll
I'm sure someone's thought, we still got plenty of parachutes.
Wow.
Suit up.
Well, for this, you don't need a parachute. If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the Underground Sound Pro Tip.
If you want to find us faster, do a search for KSCU. That is unique to our station.
That's right.
Meanwhile, in other news, as I said, Doctor Who, a.k.a. the Doctor from Doctor Who, more specifically, David Tennant is going to be joining the Marvelverse. The new series coming to Netflix, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, has basically a big baddie that can control people at will using mind powers, pheromones, basically every single way that somebody can be controlled. He has that power. Mm-hmm. So basically, he's like a bad guy, like pretty bad, because
That's pretty far up the don't mess with this guy chain.
Right. It's difficult to combat like 40 different types of control.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's going to be the main bad guy and motivating force behind the series, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, and specifically because it's her trying to start a private detective agency because the superhero thing didn't work out so well because it was traumatic because of Doctor Who. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much of the backstory is going to be thrown in right at the beginning, or if they're going to play it out over season or whatnot. But I have confidence he'll make a truly excellent bad guy, because he can be pretty despicable if he wants to.
Yeah, he's in touch with that inner darkness which so many people
right, we all remember Potter, right?
It's true. Yeah. It's true. He was a baddie.
He's pretty bad in that.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And if you're,
I think he's even worse in this. Mostly because he's purple.
Whoa. See.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that, like I didn't know that, and you're like, who is this Jessica Jones person? Never fret, because we're bringing it back. Caleb's gonna be talking about comic book characters that are going to have their own TV shows and movies and all that. So we're going to bring back that segment because there's a lot of stuff coming out. Suicide Squads and Ultrons and Ant-Man people and and all those things. So you're like, I don't know what any of these are, but they look kind of cool.
And all the
Daredevil,
characters
that came, heard of that?
Daredevil and all the characters out of Hell's Kitchen that are not nearly as well known as Daredevil.
Exactly. Right. Robots Attack is going to have you covered. So stick around for that. Obviously not tonight, but
not tonight.
Just stay tuned. We'll keep you up to date. We're gonna put together a plan and go through, like, okay, we're gonna tackle this one, we'll do this one, but it's gonna be good.
Yes,
because I think good. You did a good job with the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, because
thank you, bravo. You know,
didn't know who those characters were, and now they're like huge gigantic box office success, and
took you a long time to get to the squirrel. That's my only
he's not a squirrel.
Okay, so speaking of animals, my story doesn't involve an animal, but it's named after an animal. The Beagle 2, found on Mars after disappearing for 12 years.
Whoa.
Scientists finally get closure. The Beagle 2 Mars lander, the United Kingdom's landing spacecraft that went AOL on Mars in 2003. Has been located in images captured by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance
Orbiter. I see what you're doing now.
You know, maybe you're not super familiar with this Beagle 2, but maybe you remember a certain teaser trailer for a certain transforming film involving Transformers. And it was sort of roaming around Mars, and then it was like, oh, and then the images were scattered and...
Okay.
You know, stuff like that, and I'm totally not stalling, so this thing opens up. Okay, the spacecraft was deployed from the European Space Agency Mars Express on December 19th, 2003, and landed on the surface of Mars on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. The ESA couldn't raise contact with the spacecraft at the expected landing time or subsequent attempts at securing communication, and announced the mission lost in February 2004. Quote, I am delighted that Beagle 2 has finally been found on Mars, said Mark Sims of the University of Leicester, former Beagle 2 mission manager and leader of the initial study phase, said in a prepared statement. Stop moving. What the heck? Man, my app. It's not simple news. This browser is like freaking out. It's like, there's too much stuff going on.
This is why you need to read. Mobile first as a strategy. It's not just shrink it down.
Yeah. Let's see. The Beagle 2 was ruined by the disappointment of not receiving data from the surface of Mars. Frank, I had all but given up hope ever knowing what happened to Beagle 2. The images shown that we came so close to achieving the goal of science on Mars. The orbiter's high-resolution imaging science experiment camera located the Beagle 2 within its expected landing area, approximately 3 miles from its center. Let's see if I can get some more sort of acting. I don't know. Okay, the 3 observations by the orbiter in December revealed that it survived touchdown long enough to partially deploy its solar arrays. Its rear cover with the pilot SAS Drogol chute still attached and main parachute lay nearby. Yeah, if you want to find out some more stuff, it looks like they discovered it back in December. You can check out the article we posted up right now because it's acting really stupid on my phone and I don't want to waste time on it. So,
fair enough. So from from finding things that were lost to finding things, connections with things that we didn't know existed. Recently, a study that came out in Nature Neuroscience had a group of geneticists and psychiatrists, the ones that are the medical doctors as opposed to that like do prescription stuff, like understanding of the actual chemicals of the brain as opposed to the
psychiatrists. Then?
I can't remember which one it is now. Yeah. I always get
psychologist the two. Is just the brain without the chemistry.
Okay. That sounds more right. Anyway, people that work in both genetics and brain
studies. They cross-classed is what you're saying.
They cross. Yes. Yeah, so those who have cross-classed have found or worked in conjunction with have found a genetic trigger for schizophrenia, depression, and bipolar disorder.
Dang, all of them?
All of them. Now they're not
or
all the,
just when they're all together.
No,
a big ball of disorder.
Now all of them have a similar grouping of DNA strands, proteins that trigger them, and so they're
protein is always causing problems.
Mm-hmm. They're thinking that that in the future genetically tailored medications become more commonplace and more cost-effective, this could actually lead to a single treatment which would treat all 3 of these disorders.
Oh, okay.
And that's really big news because if you've been seeing the news lately, there's a lot of people out there that struggle with mental disorder that have done some very strange things that have caused death, and other people that just can't function in society because of this.
Mm-hmm.
So having a pill or a treatment that could either abate or eliminate these conditions in people, or possibly like help them cope with their disease is really, really cool. And it's nice to see that there's progress being made on the idea of treating mental illness as if it was an actual like sickness as opposed to like it's something you just have to work through with therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
lots of encouraging stuff there. As the article goes on is quite long and it links to the actual study paper, which if you're feeling so inclined to read, it's got a lot of medical jargon in it, but it's really interesting. So there's
it will break your brain.
Just a little bit.
Medical jargon.
That would be an awesome hero.
Medical jargon man.
Right.
And thank you to our listener. Yes, psychiatrists is the term I was looking for. You are right, Jason.
Yes. I have the knowledge. Meanwhile, here in local news, outright in local news. Ford is coming to the Silicon Valley. Not in like giant numbers or anything like that, but they are basically starting up a Silicon Valley branch that's going to be housing over 100 software and user experience engineers. so that they can finally get more feet first into the entire tech side of things,
mm-hmm.
which was interesting to me since they were one of the first people to throw down a car that parks itself, which people seem to have forgotten already.
Ford has been astonishingly progressive in their adoption of technology. They also were one of the first to have like a centralized information system within the car, the Ford Sync.
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting because when I was reading over this article, it seemed like whoever was writing it completely forgot those two facts. But, hey. Still, it's basically going to be an interesting connection to the area since they've held back doing any sort of connection to the area to be able to cross with the big or large amounts of tech people in the area, whereas a lot of other car companies have had 8 little offices at least in the area for quite some time. So, welcome to the area, Ford.
Nice.
We hope you like it here.
Right.
Watch the flowers. Mm-hmm. Don't trample on them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Stay off our lawns. With the self-parking cars.
Which hopefully those will avoid
mm-hmm.
the smashing of the
yes.
flowers.
Right.
Anyway, speaking of smashing things, the Marvel Universe as you know it
what
will be coming to an end.
Yes.
What?
Wait.
At a live press good? Event at Midtown Comics in New York City, moderated by Marvel PR man Chris DeLando, not to be confused with Lando Calrissian, Marvel mm-hmm. Comics executive editor Tom Brevoort, I don't know if he could be confused with anyone else, and editor-in-chief Axel Alonso announced that the Marvel Universe will smash together with the Ultimate Universe and will be replaced by Battle World, a mashup of many different Marvel Whoa. Realities. Now take a
that
moment
sounds fairly extreme.
To compose yourself. Now, if you're familiar, DC has done some sort of similar things, smashing together different alternate realities and
yeah, the
creating new 52s and that sort of thing. But
Crisis Across Infinite Earths. And
exactly.
All those
this huge development has been in the works for some time. And Jonathan Hickman's years-long Avengers saga, the heroes have been trying to stop a series of universe-ending incursions where two universes collide with one another. The exciting incident to May's 8-part Secret Wars event,
ooh,
which is the big
Secret
thing,
Wars.
Yeah,
nice.
Will be when the heroes fail to stop the regular and Ultimate Universes from crashing together. The resulting Battle World will bring the Marvel Universe, you know, change it going forward from there. This is putting an end cap to decades of stories and starting a new era. When you see the scope of the event, you will see what we're willing to do. This is a place where we're going to be bringing new pieces onto the board and taking old pieces off. You guys will be yelling and screaming, loving and hating in equal measure, Alonso said. It was clarified that Battle World will be the Marvel Universe during, through, and after Secret Wars. None of this is an Elseworlds, What If, or any other kind of alternate reality. It'll be the setting for in-continuity stories that will all count going forward. And I know there was some talk that, like, people were thinking, oh, are they just going to, like, make the world, like, align it with the films?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I believe that is not going to happen.
Huh.
Like, they're not going to make it, like, the movies and the comics are now, like, the same thing.
Yeah,
so
the one thing that I'd heard, I forget where and who knows how credible, but it sounded along the lines of possibilities, was that they were thinking about making the permanent Spider-Man after all of this, the one from the Ultimate Universe.
Miles Morales. Interesting.
Right.
That would seem logical, because I think, at least since I sort of stopped a while back, but I want to say that's like one of the only Ultimate lines still going is like the Spider-Man
yeah.
one.
Ultimate Spider-Man is like, I think, the only continuously one. I think every so often the story will crop up in the others, but like it's really Ultimate Spider-Man's the only one of the Ultimate
yeah.
line that's still in existence.
I will say I think one thing that sort of ties with the movies that I think they're doing, or it looks like, I mean, mm-hmm. having not seen a whole bunch, but since Marvel doesn't really own X-Men mm-hmm. and Fantastic Four anymore, they're not really like, they're kind of being pushed to the side. Like, we'll come back to these later and putting some other stuff in the forefront. So mm-hmm. it is kind of funny, like thinking back, like, wow, you think like X-Men used to be like the big thing, and now it's like, nope, those guys are kind of over there now. It's the Avengers. Care mm-hmm. about those people.
Well, I always thought it was interesting, too. I mean, there was a lot of stuff happening with them in general at the time, but when they did the Civil War arc, not one of my favorite arcs, but they basically shoved the X-Men to the side in that one also, because mm-hmm. yeah. they were dealing with some stuff, but it was weird, like, having the entire thing being a fight over people with superpowers, and mutants were just, like, cut out of the entire thing.
Yeah.
It's like, there's all of these other people,
okay,
we won't talk about them for now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing that makes me a little bit sad about that is that the Fantastic Four is one of the oldest Marvel properties, and to have it sort of, not really sidelined, but effectively sort of edged out just a little bit. It's a little bit, it's a little sad.
But here's a positive spin on that. Thor.
It's true.
They put Thor in a drawer for a while. When no one was excited about him, brought him back out, people were excited.
It's true.
So just think, when they pull out the Fantastic Four out of the cabinet that they put them in.
I just like Thor in a drawer. Yeah. I like that.
Think of how exciting it'll be when they come back. Like, that's the only positive I can sort of spend for.
Well, Thor underwear. I got my Thor in the drawer.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines like Guardians of the Galaxy. They took a reasonably obscure team that no one had heard from in a number of years and turned them into a really legit, cool new property effectively. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that with the Fantastic Four, if they do that. So
here's hoping. Here's something that is a positive.
Hmm.
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have a little bit of time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Awesome. So, following in this line of things that are positive, although occasionally a little bit scary, is DARPA. And if you're...
No, DARPA's never scary.
Well, more specifically, Boston Dynamics.
Boston Dynamics is never scary.
No, well, I guess they aren't. But the things they make are a little bit interesting at times.
Yeah,
but
they're creepy. The stuff they make is downright creepy.
This time, they have improved one of their earlier robots known as Atlas. And Atlas is...
horror movie waiting to happen.
Pardon?
It's a horror movie waiting to happen, this thing.
It's going to be interesting because they rebuilt the earlier Atlas model with revamped parts, new pieces.
Things going to get taken over by a demon or a moon monster. Mark my words.
One of the main things that they have done is they have added a battery pack, a very large battery pack, and now Atlas can move without having a whole like mess of cables attached to him, or attached to the robot can now move without a pile of cables dragging behind it all the time.
Okay. That's like a deal breaker, unless you're like an Evangelion or something like that.
It's a limited amount of time. I think it's like maybe 25 minutes or something like that, but which isn't a terrible long amount of time, but still it's a significant step forward for a bipedal self-balancing robot. So that I just thought that was like, you know, for those who've been listening for a while, Boston Dynamics has come up multiple times because they're one of the leading groups that's making robotics fascinating here in the States. I'm sure there's other people other parts of the world. I haven't seen as
much of them are concentrating on little robots. These guys are going big.
Mm. Yeah, the Atlas robot is about 5 feet tall, so it's human scale, and it's so there's, you know, it's like This one was also, there's the firefighting bipedal robot that the Navy has been working on. So this is all like kind of coming out of those projects, bringing them together, and it's part of it is part of a DARPA challenge to make bipedal walking robots.
Cool.
The video of it is the motions that this robot makes is really. It's really cool. It's like it's one part unnerving because it looks very lifelike now, but the other time it's like, I think it's like just, it's technology is coming together. It's going to be really cool.
So yeah, it's like a human with a roll cage on its back.
the article has the video.
Mm-hmm. It has video and animated GIFs to watch. So
nice. And of course, where could they check that out?
GIFs also.
GIFs, GIFs, yeah. We're all inclusive.
Yeah, they'll be you'll find them on Facebook and Twitter momentarily.
All right. Well, speaking of the opposite of things that are very cool, like
uh-oh.
Robots.
Uh-oh.
Some of the uncool things from this last year have been all of the broken video games and stuff related to that. And yeah. it's even afflicted one of my favorite games that I play like a ton. The DLC that last came out for Destiny has now been admitted by a lead developer from Bungie, Mr. Luke Smith, to be a mistake.
Whoa.
What?
At least partially. Basically, if you're not familiar, they ended up doing a kind of an odd little upgrade system to make it so they could have the levels kind of jump up, but have kind of a barrier that people can overcome to be, like, getting up to the next level. So
okay.
It'd be like, I accomplished something type of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the barrier meant that a lot of people's weapons were basically reset and they had to rebuild weapons from scratch, which, if you're used to the really crazy weapons in that game, it takes a long time to do that. So people weren't happy. And it sounds like they're, according to Mr. Luke Smith, it sounds like they're taking that to heart, and no such barriers will be in the upcoming House of Wolves DLC. Now, nobody has actually fleshed out how exactly they're going to add on to levels and make a seamless transition with new weapons and so on. I was just kind of surprised it wasn't an easy thing of just adding more weapons, but
it seems the logical step. But
right.
At the same time, like, I can also see, like, only just people might have a favorite they want to customize and keep and take forward and stuff like that.
Yeah. So in between that and people finding a bunch of exploits in the actual Crota encounter at the end of the big raid that was bundled with the DLC, supposedly that's all fixed and ironed out now. But it's still a testament, even with these problems, over 3 million players participated after the most recent update to the Crota's End hard mode. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was just in the first 24 hours of them updating it, too.
Well done, team.
Well done.
Yeah. So it's still, even with the problems, it's still a popular game.
Yeah. Yeah, I still see a lot of people streaming that on Twitch.
But yep. Yeah, it'd be nice for this stuff to go a little bit smoother and not make people angry.
Yeah, of course, considering this is the first time that Bungie's made a game of this style, the fact that this is the first real big misstep is like not too shabby, all things considered.
Plus, it's the first time anybody's made a game of this style, technically.
For consoles, true. Yeah, good point.
Well, my next story also involves a video game, so I'm going to pose a question.
Okay,
have either of you gents ever played any of the Bard's Tale video games?
No, not at all. I've heard good things from people who love Bards.
Okay, yeah, I have not. But for those who do. like the Bard's Tale, and have been anxiously waiting for more Bard's Tale. Well, right. Brian Fargo announces first Bard's Tale sequel in 27 years.
Whoa. It's been a little while.
The creator returns to reignite his franchise. After creating his own studio in 2002, Fargo began work on The Bard's Tale, a comical reimagining of the franchise's tropes that would release in 2004. The Bard's Tale 4 is a proper sequel, though marking the first since 1988's The Bard's Tale 3, Thief of Fate. Okay. Quote, "This project has always been really personal to me," Fargo told IGN, which is where I grabbed the story. "It was a game that put both me and Interplay on the map back in the day. It's also the franchise that launched In Exile. In Exile Entertainment is planning a Kickstarter for The Bard's Tale 4. Details about the game are still light, but Fargo did say the team will be pulling from the original as far as overarching ideas go. From a story perspective, players will be returning as Skara Brae, where it all began. But on the gameplay side of things, Fargo is planning a deviation. Quote, traditional turn-based combat, as Fargo calls it, bases turns on varying factors, creating battles in which different characters attacked at different times, often alternating between opposing sides. But in The Bard's Tale 4, teams attack all at once. This increases the pace of the combat, allows for a different set of tactics than the traditional system might allow.
Okay.
So, if you've been anxiously waiting since 1988 for a sequel, for another Bard's Tale, you're going to get one.
Right. Wow. Nice.
That's pretty cool, though, like resurrecting a beloved franchise.
And having like the creator doing it, you know, coming back to it.
Yeah.
After working on some stuff, bringing it back.
For serious. All right, I'm going to round out my list of stories with one that definitely is in line with our positivity stream.
Oh, nice.
A 13-year-old inventor has made a DIY Braille printer.
Boo. Now,
for those...
I don't like Braille.
Well, that's not for you, so that's not a problem.
It's difficult for me to read.
You have to reach out and touch the page to really get a feel for
I don't
for
like
that
touching
one.
Things.
But it's not uncommon for Braille printers to cost upwards of $2,000. His DIY project is considerably less, okay. And it runs off of Lego Mindstorms.
Nice.
At least this version does. He's been given funding, and he's looking to make this a more commercial product. But this is the whole.
Make it so you can 3D print one of your own or something like that.
that may be where it eventually ends up. But for now, like, it's a testament to ingenuity, engineering, and. A big thanks
Engineer-annuity.
To all the designers and developers that have made professional level tools available to kids, to the youth, and making them like interesting, because like a 13-year-old made something that could really directly affect people's lives going forward for. Really, really positive ways. Like this is.
I don't think I was thinking of that at 13.
No, I'm sure I was.
I was
either.
Pretty happy if I built a spaceship with my Legos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was ecstatic.
But like, you know, this is what you know. Why also the whole STEM program, science, technology, engineering, and math is something that we should definitely be. Investigating in schools, going forward, and things like that. Like this is the kind of things that this sort of exploration of creativity and it needs to be encouraged. You can't force it, but you can encourage it. Like if the kid's like, I'm working on this thing, like just let them have their space and let them work on it and stuff like that. It's you know apparently he spent a lot of time hanging out in the family kitchen, like working with his Mindstorms EB3 kit. And like just putting this idea together, and he's making starting a company and all kinds of like It's like, these are the sorts of things that it's just so cool to see it happen. And furthermore, he has gone a step further beyond just making it and showing that it can be done. He's also released the steps that he took and the code that he wrote to make it happen. And so on MakeZine, they actually link to, they actually have all the art, all of the steps that he wrote up an article effectively about how to do this for yourself. So for a reasonably small investment of money and a reasonably small investment of time, you too can make a Braille printer in your home. And that's this is just like all the things I love about open source and the maker ethos, where it's like, it's a problem or there's something that seems like it should be done differently or better. Let's see if we can figure out how to do it. This like typifies so much of that for me. It's so cool. I was 13 years old. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's impressive. Most impressive.
Indeed, indeed.
I have one last story. It's rather large, so I'm going to try and do it very quickly.
Okay, well, before that, if you're just tuning in, we are in the news portion of the show. Jason has our last story of the night here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound on Robots Attack.
Okay, so this last week, PAX South was kind of the new big thing. Never happened before, and people were wondering what sort of gaming stuff was going to be presented there, because there's already like 15 PAXes.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Borderlands has adopted PAX and brought their news shotgun with them, because they dropped like everything about everything this last PAX. Okay, number one.
What did they bring with them this time?
the next character that's going to be for the DLC for the most recent Borderlands game the pre-sequel is going to be Hammerlock's sister, who is going to be the Baroness. She's basically a rich character who uses wealth in order to get everything that she wants. And especially uses the new ice attacks there with the game.
Sounds like she likes to, where Sir Hammerlock likes to like study the animals.
Right.
She likes to kill them.
It makes sense. There's always the yin and the yang in the family. The actual story DLC coming out for the same game is going to be centered around Claptrap.
Nice.
No word on exactly what that's going to be, but supposedly it's supposed to be getting into Claptrap's mind, which could be really interesting. Anyway.
High five, your old pal Claptrap.
Right.
Don't leave me hanging here.
A lot of people were asking, why is there no original Borderlands coming to original consoles since it came first and whatnot? Apparently, they're doing a wait-and-see thing that if the Handsome Collection ends up selling well enough, Borderlands 1 will be coming to the next-gen consoles or current-gen. The newfangled consoles.
Yeah.
The one and the four.
Right. Finally, and this isn't directly 2K news, but it's also Borderlands news, Scooter is going to be coming to the Tales from Borderlands Episode 2. So if you've been waiting for some more Scooter, get a nice Scooter fix, now you can do that. And the final little bit of information... They're doing an open casting call, effectively, for Borderlands 3. They're trying to get as many people to tweet and send in resumes to their studio as possible so that they can gear up for the production of the third installment.
Wow.
So, yeah, all the Borderlands news, all at PAX South. I don't know if that's going to be, like, from now on, all they ever do. They're going to be like, we don't go anyplace besides PAX South anymore.
That's right. Gearbox, we're right here. We're right next to it. So, yeah, I would imagine Gearbox will have a pretty solid presence at PAX South.
Makes some sense. Yeah.
Stays around.
Yeah, and also it gives them a good place to sort of let them control the message about what they're saying. It's not like they're not stuck at a booth at E3. Not that that's a bad thing, but like it's not, they're not. One of the voices, they are the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, their presentation area looked gigantic from the pictures that I saw, too. It actually made me sad that I wasn't at PAX.
Very cool.
I think so. I think it was solid. Mm-hmm. Solid
not
stuff.
Not bad.
Yeah, hopefully it continues. The PAX in the South.
Yeah. They've been quite successful with their PAX, with all the PAX so far, so.
Yeah, in unrelated Borderlands, but related PAX news, it was the biggest opening of a PAX ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's, how many now? There's PAX East, PAX West.
Well, Prime.
Oh, Prime. That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Dang. That's a lot of conventions.
Then PAX Primal. Optimus PAX.
Just
PAX
lots and lots.
Optimize.
Get your PAX anywhere. There's a PAX PAX.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's PAX 3 PAX and PAX and the PAX PAX. Let's also good on the Penny Arcade guys for like putting this kind of stuff together, because like that's also very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and it being successful enough to, you know, actually have industry people come and want to share their stuff there instead of like, you know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like, it's that thing again. Yes, that's very nice. But no, it's very nice that they're being cool with it and like excited about it also. Like the community itself is expanding because of all of this. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm waiting for them to do like a PAX Fargo or something like that, because they've done like each of the points of the compass in the United States now, besides like actual north. So, I mean, it's sort of northwest, one of them, but
yeah. Probably like PAX Canada, somewhere in Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe the next one.
Yeah,
that could work.
PAX Maple Leaf.
A lot of game companies and.
That's
Canada.
True.
Nah.
Yeah, some little company called Ubi something or other. I can't remember. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's going to do it for the news.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Unless there was something you wanted to throw in.
Are
you sure? Are you positive?
Positive.
Okay, all right. I'm getting the thumbs up from Caleb.
Yes.
Thumbs up from Jason.
I have no thumbs.
Okay, so it's sort of an imaginary thumb.
I'm giving you
up.
Like
okay,
an upward
the head
nod.
Bob. Okay,
I'm giving you
perfect.
Like the, yeah.
Excellent. All right, so we're going to take a music break. And we're going to come back with more Robots Attack. We're going to skip Geek Talk tonight because we got a big core.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about the 10 things
we're
excited for this year. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Guarantee it. Because it'll give you a chance to hear some stuff. You're like, oh, yeah, that's coming out. Or, oh, I can't believe you didn't put this on. And you'll be able to participate in all of that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we're going to get to some music and then come back with more Robots Attack right here.
Living Wage Pop-Up Gallery will feature artist Michael Roman along with works by other artists on Friday, January 30th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It will be held at the Redstone Labor Temple located at 2940 16th Street, Room 301 in San Francisco. It features a silent art auction to benefit the San Francisco Living Wage Coalition. It is an opportunity to see and purchase art and enjoy live music, poetry, food, wine, while promoting a more just economy in the city. Admission is free. Friday, January 30th from 6 a.m. or from 6 to 8 p.m. 2940 16th Street. For more information, call 415-863-1225 or email sflivingwage@riseup.net or check online at livingwage-sf.org.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at robotsattackme. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara, 3.3 FM, the underground sound. You are in the core here on Robots Attack. We've got a special core for tonight. Our top 10 things, stuff, whatever's coming out this year that we are all excited for. We each put together a list. And of course, to preface this, we should say these are the things that we know of. We're probably about 95% sure they're coming out this year. There's a chance they could be delayed or stopped.
Oh, I know.
You know.
Yeah.
But for now, this is, you know, we're pretty certain they've made the announcement that they're coming out or, you know, close to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and...
And we're excited about it based on the information we have now.
Exactly. which could change, which also means that the list itself could change because some things could come out later on this year
mm-hmm.
that were like, I'm more excited for that than the thing I mentioned before,
right.
Which is what makes the end of the year list, when we go back and revisit this list,
kind of fun.
Yeah. So anyway, Jason's going to start us off with his number 10.
Yeah, I have to wait all the way until March, mid-March for this.
Oh.
And yeah, it caught me off guard because it was the weirdest idea that I think I've ever heard, but it had some pretty decent pedigree, so I kind of trust that it'll be at least interesting, that I really want to see it. And that's the television show iZombie.
Okay. I've seen little pictures and little things for it, but I'm not super... Is it based off of
a novel
or a comic, or
I actually don't know about that.
I know it's based on another form of media. Let me see if I can find it while you.
Based on iZombie by Chris Roberson and Michael Allred. Basically, the thing that's created a bunch of interest to me is that it's developed by Rob Thomas. He of course had crud. Now I can't remember the names of the stuff.
Veronica Mars.
Right, Veronica mm-hmm. Mars. I had a hard time getting into the series, but I respect it, and it's one of those that I intend to go back and get through one of these days. But the main thing that I was excited about that he's done relatively recently was, the short-lived series Party Down. It basically ended up being a kind of starting point for a lot of people to kind of get their name into a bigger place. And all of a sudden, all of the people on that show are in giant things all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
In every place from Glee to Parks and Rec. And of course, he had Veronica Mars herself pop up in the show also.
Nice.
But yeah, I was really impressed by that one because he had a real talent for creating scenes that were interesting but also pretty funny, and the little bits that I've seen from the iZombie have been along the same lines, just because the main idea of it is that it's mm-hmm. a coroner who ended up being afflicted with zombieism somehow, and I assume that's going to be part of the fun, finding out why it happened, because it sounds like she doesn't even know. And so her working in that job has ended up being obviously a blessing because she's able to get her brains fixed. But the twist to it is that it turns into a weekly murder mystery because she ends up getting little flashes of information from the brains that she eats. So because it's like coroner and usually involves homicides, stuff like that, there's crime-solving element to it, and she ends up friends with police officers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm,
so, mm-hmm. yeah, it sounds like it has a lot of potential. I was not expecting it whatsoever, but I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah, sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I think it's popping on the CW, I think?
Yes.
Okay.
Very cool.
All right, Caleb, what is your number 10?
You
can say it like that, my number 10. Well, you don't have to. It's up to you.
I'm gonna drop...
drop a bomb?
No, not quite. I'm going to throw the Kingsman Secret Service in here. I was excited for this.
Looks interesting.
Last year, but it got bumped from August 1st, which was its original release date, to February 3rd of this year. So I'm still excited for it. It still looks like fun. Colin Firth as Secret Agent Man, who is no stranger to being totally awesome, is going to be kind of a nice change of pace, because like normally I've seen Colin Firth, the somewhat befuddled Englishman, which is something he does that role well.
True.
Yeah, but him and Hugh Grant kind of have that covered. Like, just
he was kind of taking over the Hugh Grant. So.
They're like arm wrestling for it.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see him do essentially a similar role, but in a twist that makes it kind of unique. So
yeah,
plus like the premise just looks like a lot of fun. It's not anything that you probably haven't seen in a lot of other stories, but it looks pretty well executed. The base thing is he's calling for the secret agent, and he is recruiting what appears to be a young loser from the wrong side of the tracks of London, and turning him and wants to enlist him in this super elite private secret service. So it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it looked pretty slick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I finally saw the. I forget where I first saw the trailer, but yeah, I think
it's been a long time ago since I saw it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I must have saw it. Like after it had been pushed, because I didn't remember it being like that it was supposed to release in the summer. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to say it was like the first Hobbit movie that I saw that trailer. It's been a long time ago.
I think that's. I think it's when they started to kind of like kick. One of the early trailers came out, I think, with the Hobbit. But yeah, it was sort of a looking forward to it. And then like it just sort of vaporized. I'm like, what happened?
Right.
What happened?
They still have the posters up in a lot of the theaters, too.
I remember walking
with
by
the old date.
Yeah. Walking by like the big stand up going, like, that looks like fun. I'm going, but it didn't.
August. That's a lie.
Right. Was it that bad that I didn't even hear about it coming out?
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Like, did it just like solely run me by? But no, it just got pushed back, and I can accept that. I'm looking forward to it still.
And you don't have to wait very long.
Not very long. So there we go.
All right. So before I get to my number 10, if you're interested in free radio time, KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. You can email traffic@ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization. All right. So my number 10, it's a little tricky because I did a tie, but I'll explain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll explain the tie because what I originally had is Star Wars Battlefront, but
okay.
There hasn't been like an official like date for it, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
the Star Wars movie is coming out this year. Mm-hmm. So my guess is they want to try to get it out this year, even if it's not like completely finished.
Yes.
Because they can put patches on, as we've been seeing from games lately.
Console gaming is not like PC gaming.
Yes.
Patch.
So I had that as 10, but I sort of fought with myself. Well, since there hasn't been like an official date, and I'm kind of just basing it on, well, the Star Wars movie, they probably want to get it out with it.
But, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So the other tie is, which it's Metal Gear Solid 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So mm-hmm. I enjoy the Metal Gear games. They're crazy insane. If you ask me to explain them, I would say, I'm sorry, here's a wiki page.
Because
I don't even really know a whole lot of stuff that's going on, but it's a fun, crazy ride. And Ground Zeroes, while wasn't terribly long, just seeing what the new tech
mm-hmm.
is going to be for 5 with that as kind of like a little sample,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Tasty appetizer for the main tech course of the game.
Yeah, and just some of the crazy stuff about like attaching like parachutes to people or different things, and they'll come in and like take them away, and it can it just sounds like it's going to be just filled with the craziest things that every Metal Gear game has.
Watching
and
horses float up in the air on weather balloons is a kick.
Yeah.
Good old
horse,
Metal Gear.
Horse just looks like, huh?
Yeah. What? And it'll be interesting. Like, I got to hear a little bit of, you know, Kiefer Sutherland. mm-hmm. As a big boss. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this one will be kind of a full on even more to kind of see
right.
his role as that character. So yeah, that's it's a tie. If like it came out like tomorrow, if it said yes, Battlefront is coming out, you know, this year,
mm-hmm.
I'd give it to Battlefront just because it's Star Wars.
Yes.
But since there isn't that, you know, mm-hmm. definition for sure, I go with Metal Gear 5.
Fair enough.
Okay. Is that putting it back to me for number...
Number 9.
Number 9. My number 9, and I'm probably going to get some groans for this. Fantastic Four.
No, I'm actually kind of curious.
Movie?
Yeah,
the okay, movie.
Yeah, there's a bunch of reasons. Number one, the director. I liked his first big movie. I thought... what was it called again? I was a huge fan of the movie that I can't remember the name of. Chronicle.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Josh Trank, film writer, director of Chronicle, is also going to be doing the same thing for Fantastic Four. The other thing is that he carried over one of his leads from that, Michael B. Jordan. I thought he was excellent in Chronicle, and I really look forward to him in Fantastic Four. It's going to be interesting because they're completely changing how the characters are related to each other, it seems like, mostly by age and differences and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah, I saw a little news blurb saying that they're going to be focusing on, like, these characters as, like, young adults, like, sort of like that whole exploration phase that you reach at that early part of your 20s kind of life, so...
They're sticking with the astronaut thing, so that's the place where I don't quite understand, unless it's stuff that people are just completely writing incorrectly. But I do like the casting for it so far. Michael B. Jordan is solid. Kate Mara was excellent in House of Cards. Miles Teller, I absolutely hate him, so he's perfect for Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, come on, Mr. Fantastic's not that bad.
No, he's horrible.
Oh, maybe you.
But that's what makes him a good character, is he's horrible. And then, arguably, even more horrible, Dr. Doom is going to be played by Toby Kebbell. I really liked him in Rock'n'Rolla. He was a really different take on a bad guy, and it was really interesting seeing how they made him into a bad guy in that movie. And so I'm interested to see how he's going to turn out in this.
Oh, okay.
And then they threw in Tim Blake Nelson also as Mole Man, which I'm interested to see how that's going to work out.
Huh.
If you're not familiar, Tim Blake Nelson is from the second Hulk movie. He was the scientist that was also working on the Hulk serum.
Okay. The one with Edward Norton?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, so it basically looks like they have a solid crew put together for it, and I'm hoping it turns out to be something interesting. I know there's some loose stuff for what the costumes will look like, but I'm trying to ignore it for now until it's more solid. But yeah,
plus costuming is always like one of those things, like until you see it in motion on the screen, it's kind of hard to get a feel for like what that's going to be like.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to remember the lighting and mm-hmm. everything, you know, all the movie magic.
Yeah, yeah. Once color correction and lighting and special effects get added, a lot of a multitude of sins can be hidden in costuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting. Arguably the biggest star in the movie is going to be the Thing, because he's already won a BAFTA award for best actor in a leading role for his role in Billy Elliot.
Hmm.
So yeah, it'll be interesting seeing like an actor who's actually won something as the person all decked out in stuff so you can't tell that it's an actor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess...
And that's coming from a guy who really liked Chiklis as the Thing, so...
Probably one of the best parts of the original movies.
Right.
But yeah,
I wonder when they'll start showing some actual footage.
Should be fairly soon, I would think.
The movie's slated for August, so it might be a while yet.
Okay. They usually start throwing out teaser trailers around 6 months or so. So.
Yeah. Probably within the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, Caleb. You're number 9.
All right. Now, this one's with the huge caveat of if it drops this year. And that's why it's back down here at number 9, because I am uncertain about whether it will drop this year, and that's The Division.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so, but...
I put it at number 9 because I am holding out hope.
Right.
That's its saving grace, is holding out hope that it will drop, and then...
That's holding my number 11 position on my list.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have put that on my list if I knew for certain it was, but I...
But so many problems with Ubisoft lately.
Yeah.
And they're still reeling, like, they're giving away stuff like crazy, and they're doing half-hearted attempts at the stuff that they're giving away. So, yeah, and for now, it sounds like Ubisoft's a mess and needs to catch up.
Oh, yeah. This one sounds like it was a different team than what was working on Assassin's Creed.
It's true.
So that's why I'm hoping that maybe they'll use that as possibly a way to reclaim their name as hacked.
It's just a very ambitious game.
It is. Yeah. It is super big. And
it's up there with Destiny.
Yeah.
Possibly even more.
Yeah, it has potential to be even more ambitious than Destiny. So that's why it's like,
see, that's
I want it to be good. I'm willing to accept that is a mistake. Putting it on my list was a mistake. If it will be good when it comes out,
actually, that right there to me is an argument for it maybe actually staying on schedule, just because Destiny was arguably like really whittled down to something small and manageable, so that they could release it at a given time, and it seems like they could still do that since a lot of it is going to be based on evolving situations. So if they have a stripped down version of the game where people can get into the sandbox and really get passionate about it early, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Good point.
And that is sort of where my hope is, like they'll release not quite beta, but like that maybe not necessarily gold master, but I don't want necessarily need everything in the game, but give me enough to sink my teeth into it, because that world looks so much fun.
Yeah,
I think it could be even something as easy as you just having access to a certain level of security, like being able to get through a door with a simple lock, having all those doors be open for you at the beginning would be plenty to deal with, and then have higher and higher security stuff be accessible as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a really easy thing to throw in.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways they can skin this cat, and I hope that it's
I hope that cat gets skinned.
proverbial cat and proverbial skinning.
Skins were separated from cats. And
it is possible that there might be a beta this year for it for people.
Yeah,
it's possible, but I still think it won't. But I'm definitely looking forward to that one. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that's
okay. So my number 9 is coming out in March.
Ooh.
Early March. I got to play a little bit of it at Comic-Con last year.
Nice.
And it was supposed to come out last year, but it got pushed. And it's probably good that it did. Not that the game needed it from what I could tell, but just there were a lot of games and I don't want this one to get lost. I want this one to do well. And that game is Ori and the Blind Forest. As soon as I saw the trailer at, I think it was last year's E3, I fell in love with this game. Like, it was just like hit me in the heart. It was like so sad, like what happens to one of the characters in it. And just the art style is just so awesome to me. And it's just like cute but combines like cool traversing and puzzle solving and sort of the Metroidvania kind of term, if you will. Like, you have to go and get some stuff to unlock other stuff later, you know, as you upgrade and do different things. But I'm really excited.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of the footage from that. Like, that game looks amazing. I didn't know as much about how it would play, but like, it just looked really, really good.
Yeah, it's good. Good platforming. Good. It's a lot of fun. I recommend.
Cool. It's good to see a good platformer back. They haven't had one of those for a while.
I know it has nothing to do with the game, or almost nothing. But what I was like completely cooled out by, or not cooled out, like what I thought was really cool, when they talked about it initially on E3 was they did the big presentation and everybody had those light up things. I guess they were like wrist things or something.
Yeah.
And they had the entire thing where the little lights were showing up, the white lights in the game. And then they pan out and show everybody in the entire auditorium with the same little like white lights.
Yeah.
That was a really cool effect. I literally nice just got touch. Shivers right now just mm-hmm. talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm, and I won't have to wait too long for it. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's really close.
Mm-hmm. All right, number eight.
Number eight, Mad Max Fury Road, coming out May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're all probably on board with this one.
Yeah.
It looks pretty stupendous.
potentially heavy on the stew, but we'll see how it goes.
Right, yeah. The main thing I had to get over was Tom Hardy for some reason. I don't know really? Why. Yeah, I don't know why I'm having a hard time adapting to him as like the new de facto action star. I he doesn't quite fit for me other than he's muscle bound dude. But hey, that's a good thing to start with for action movies.
Rock kind of got himself established that way too. I mean, Scorpion King. And,
but I like him.
It's a different sort of charisma.
Yeah. Anyway, but maybe because all of the footage that I've seen of it is him tied up on the top of a pole has made this movie more endearing to me. But yeah, Charlize Theron looks absolutely awesome. I'm going to be really interested to see what all she can do with that claw or if it's strictly for driving. Yeah, and it's been long overdue, a good dose of Mad Max post-apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Definitely.
Caleb, number eight.
Is falling in line with one of yours, which is Star Wars Battlefront.
Because
we haven't had a good Star Wars game in a while.
In a while.
Yeah. Like 1313 was like, yes, yeah. Canceled. What?
No.
Wait, come back. Right. 1313, what? So, yeah. And I remember the old Battlefront games, which were not like this one at all, which was because they were like RTS style.
Mm.
But
well, they were third person action games, and like you jumped from like the different groups. Like mm-hmm. this one's going to be first person from what they've said.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, last I heard, who knows, that could have changed too. But
yeah.
But yeah, it sounds, I don't know if they're going to go more of a Battlefield kind of route. I mean, it's being made by DICE.
Everything that I've read makes it sound like it's going to be straight up
and
Battlefield.
And it would fit. I mean,
yeah.
That is one universe mm-hmm. setting that would fit into the Battlefield world.
Yeah, and using
as opposed to Hardline. But anyway.
Yeah, and with the Frostbite engine, it's going to look pretty fantastic. So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing
Frostbite
that.
Frostbite 14 or something.
Whatever, whichever version number it is, it looks beautiful. And I think DICE can also capture a lot of the like the epic grandness of like a Star Wars battle. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, the little sort of test footage they showed in the video at like E3, it looked looked cool. But speaking of things that are cool, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right, my number eight.
Numero ocho.
Is the rest of Tales from the Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed that first episode.
Yes,
like, that was like they just kind of blew me away. Like how much I'm like, again, I enjoyed the pre-sequel, but mm-hmm. like this one, I think I enjoyed it way more, and it was just like a small little chunk. And so, I can't wait to see mm-hmm. the rest of they. So far, they've pulled it off.
Yeah,
Telltale. So I'm down. I bought the season pass. Give me the other episodes. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm
same ready.
That was solid, that first episode. And now you know you get Scooter.
Yeah, there you go. Catch a ride.
Alrighty, number seven.
Okay. This one I'm still okay. I'm trying to psych it up in my brain just because I've been wanting to be excited for these movies for so long. Mm-hmm. And I was thoroughly... I felt like it had the right vibe, the first trailer that popped up for it. So I think it made a lot of people eat their words over how dumb it sounded from the original plot treatment, and that is Terminator Genesis.
Aha!
Okay. I wonder if this is going to make anyone's list.
Right. I'm really excited to see Arnold Schwarzenegger as an old Terminator. I know that's like everybody is saying that that's the worst possible idea. I think it's awesome. I think it's perfect.
I think if they do it right, which it looks like they're on their way to doing it pretty well, it seems like it could really play out well for them.
Right. And I know there's already like giant hate committees that are forming to say, oh, the science doesn't make sense. Right. The science of time travel, you say?
Yeah.
The science that we don't actually have right now?
Yeah.
How does that work, sir?
Well, you see, and then...
Time dilation and the... No. No. Just,
right.
Just stop right there.
Right. Can you just have some fun with it since we don't know how it works?
It's a movie.
And hopefully we'll never know how it works.
Because if we do, how would we know?
It's true.
No, we'll know because everything will unravel instantly. Anyway, I'm super excited about it. I think their choice for Sarah Connor was spot on. I'm not familiar with her at all, really, but still, what I saw from the preview, I thought was pretty impressive.
She plays Daenerys on the Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Emilia Clarke.
There you go.
I think she's really cool.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
I'll give her that.
She does a good job.
I mean, that doesn't matter and whatnot, but... But yeah, Kyle Reese I don't really care about, but Arnold Schwarzenegger and Emilia Clarke,
yeah.
I think that can do some stuff.
Yeah.
And I just love the idea of her telling Reese to get in the truck if he wants to live. I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
I was sold right then. So
you've got my ticket.
Right. Yeah. July 1st is when I will be forking over my money for that.
Nice.
Very good. Mine even has 7 in the title.
Oh!
Furious 7.
Oh!
Okay.
Dropping April 3rd.
I wanted to put that one on.
It has surprised me how much I've enjoyed this series. Like,
seriously, right?
Like, the first one was like, okay. Second one, huh. Third one, yeah! Fourth one, okay. Whatever. And then fifth, I'm like, okay, I'm totally on board. And I've been along for the ride ever since. I'm just like, yes, this movie's... Are they dumb? Oh, absolutely.
They're horribly enjoyable movies.
Yes. Yes, yeah. They should not be as much fun as they are, and they are just a freaking blast. I love them. So right. There you go.
The only...
Because fun. That's what I put down.
The only action fun. Movie that's come close to like that level of... sort of treating it like it's halfway serious, but still like sort of winking at the audience, like, we know this is crazy, is the Expendables movies.
Yeah.
No.
It's Expendables and Cars.
Very, very pretty cars.
With the more contemporary Rat Pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just got a lot of like good elements, and they do a good job of bringing it all together. And
Yeah, it'll be curious to see where it goes with this one with Jason Statham as the bad guy and you know everything that's happened with Paul Walker. And hey, Kurt Russell's in it, so that kind of guarantees my ticket almost right there too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was gonna see it anyway, but it's like, hey,
exactly.
Throwing Kurt Russell, all right.
Yeah, that would be pretty down. Cool.
Yeah, like everything I started like when it was first announced, I'm like, okay, everything about this says yes to me, and then hasn't stopped me since.
All right, so my yes for number 7 doesn't have a 7 in it.
Oh.
But it's Batman Arkham Knight. I've enjoyed Batman Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed Batman Arkham City.
Yeah.
And this one looks just as awesome. And I get the Batmobile this time, and it just looks really pretty. And that they decided, hey, we're putting this on the current gen consoles, that being the 1 and the 4.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe PC too, probably.
Yeah.
We delayed it because we want it to be the best. I'm totally fine with that. Because,
yeah,
that game looks awesome. Just when they showed that trailer of Batman jumping off the building, gliding through the city, and then hopping into the Batmobile, driving that, and then shooting right out of it, gliding through again, just like the smooth motion of everything. I was like, yes, delay that as much as you need to, because if you could make it so smooth like that, I'm down.
Yeah, they nailed down Batman like nothing else in that series. I was really tempted to put it on my list, but I ended up keeping it off the list just because I knew, much like the last one, as awesome as it was, I'm not going to get through it. And I just can't devote myself to that amount of time, because there's so much in that game.
Yeah.
And all this is like all of Gotham City in the next one.
Yeah.
Just so huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious to see where the story takes place, because if you're familiar with what happens in Arkham City, it's going to be interesting where things pick up. So that's my number 7.
Very cool.
All right, number 6.
Okay, number 6 for me is Chappie. It's...
That's my number 6, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Because, yeah, I was severely disappointed in Elysium. It had a lot of stuff going for it. It had a lot of the cool, and I'm sure it was definitely the motivating factor for the newest Call of Duty movie. But so much of it seemed to miss its mark, and it was nowhere near as enjoyable as Blomkamp's previous movie was. So I'm hoping that he loses a little bit of the preachy and a lot illogical preachy, too.
Yeah.
And just gets a really solid, interesting movie with this. They already have major points for me just because they have kind of a child version of Briareos.
I was the design of this is already kind of sold.
Yeah, it's easily one of my favorite. That Briareos is easily one of my favorite characters ever. So
from Appleseed, if you're familiar
from the manga and I guess television shows and movies now at this point. Having him as a kid is going to be fascinating.
You've got Hugh Jackman with a mullet.
That's not a selling point.
That's solid, man. That makes you like, hey, he's supposed to be the bad guy. Give him a moment. All right. Yeah.
Not a selling point for me. Sigourney Weaver, however, is a selling point.
She doesn't have a mullet.
No.
Well, maybe eventually he can convince her to get a mullet, and then they will gain mullet powers.
But yeah, this movie, it reminds me of sort of like Short Circuit and RoboCop.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if
Short Circuit Cop.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a robot that sort of gets its own personality.
A self-aware AI.
Yeah. And the authority doesn't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. So they're actively trying to find him and destroy him. And while it is becoming self-aware and wants to have his own book and live and all that sort of stuff, and I can already tell I'm gonna tear up in the movie, because there's a part where he's getting like sawed, and I'm like, I had flashes of Short Circuit 2 when he was getting smashed, and I remember crying when I was a kid during that. And it's gonna be
interesting to see exactly how much they mess with our minds with this one. Also,
it's ripe for the sort of like emotional like distraughtness that he did so well in District 9, it turned up even a bit more. Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah. All right, so your number 6 your number 6 is going to wrap it up for the night, because we don't have enough time. We're going to save our top 5 for next week,
okay,
because we don't want to just my number blah 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 blah,
right?
So we'll wrap it up at your 6. It makes it perfect. We did the first half. Tease a little for next week. So wrap us up, Caleb.
All right. As again, this one is on the shred of hope that Battleborn will actually drop this year. Now it looks fairly complete from what I can tell. They have their Their campaign demo is shown. They have a lot. It looks like it's more or less got all the pieces together. They just need to put the gold stamp on it and push it out the door, hopefully. I'm excited about it because like, I really enjoy the Borderlands, as has been painfully obvious through most of our talk about Borderlands over the
right.
last little while.
We're kind of fans.
But what I like about this one is that because of the scenario change, and like they're instead of being just all guns all the time, they've changed up how each of the characters what they carry as their primary form of armament, and it's a little bit different. They each have
swords, mauls, and
yeah, they're varying up the weapons, they're varying up the skill trees and all this stuff. So it's kind of fun seeing them take the ideas that Borderlands does well and expanding them in different directions and seeing where they go with it. And yeah, it just looks like a lot of fun. And I like the style of it too. It's got it's pushed that whole like shell shaded style a little bit further, less ink line and more like painterly, but it still looks really good.
Yeah. To me, that one looks like Team Fortress 2 as created by Pixar.
Yeah. That's a fairly apt description. So
yeah, I'm really excited about that one also. The main thing that knocks it out for me is that I can almost guarantee it's going to be on PC for a very long time. And they have a habit of just holding things forever so that they can get every last finishing touch just right. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Are you talking about the... Blizzard one or the Gearbox one? Gearbox is doing Battleborn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got it completely mixed up.
Oh, okay. So you are with
you're
me about...
You're thinking of... which one is that one? I'm spacing on it. I know which one you're
Blitz
talking
or something
about.
Like that?
Like, doesn't it start with an O or something like that?
Overwatch.
Overwatch.
Right. Which it sounds like they might actually have to change the name for the game also, because an old game apparently was named Overwatch and sued for the name. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. That's completely why I had the name wrong for that one.
But they do have a certain similarity in terms of like the fact that it's a variety of characters with differing powers and a cel-shaded life kind of Pixar-ish look, so... No
but,
worries.
Yeah, the one that you're talking about is definitely it's playing up the MOBA as a first person shooter. That's what it's trying for a little bit more actively. Yeah.
So I think that could be kind of interesting.
Alrighty. That's gonna do it for our 10 through 6 of our top 10. Next week we'll be back with
5 through 1.
5 through 1. So you want to stick around for that. Thanks for tuning in. That's going to do it for Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Caleb, how can they
find out more about us? Well, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, comment there, like our page, tell us what you'd like to see more of, tell us what you think of our top 10 so far, 10 through 6. You can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. Just like one of our dear listeners did and mentioned that Chappie also seems to have a dash of data in there as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
And
it's the skin.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can, and you too can make your voice heard through that channel as well. Or if you prefer email, you can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you want one place for all your robots attack, it's in one handy URL, and that is robotsattack.me. It has links to our social media, email, and archive episodes of our show. So if you want to catch up on what we've been talking about, if there's a subject that you think is particularly interesting and you want to find out more about our opinions on it, go there and listen away. It's awesome.
That's right. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful week and weekend, and we will be back with the rest of our top 10 list next week here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3, the Underground Sound. And coming up next, after a little bit of the Robo DJ, is DJ 9 Lives with Vespertide Vibes from 9 to 11. So you'll want to definitely stick around for that. She is a cool DJ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See you next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Goo. Baradin. Mikto.